Now we're continuing our virtue series. If you've not been with us, last week we did a week-long series on the virtue of prudence. This week is the series on justice. We'll be posting a podcast soon with all of the content on our prudence series, but now let's dive into justice. Justice, what is it? Well, it's one of the four cardinal virtues, and as I mentioned last week, the cardinal virtues are the virtues upon which all the other virtues hinge. So they're considered those door hinge virtues, the door of all to all virtue. Now, prudence holds a preeminent place, which we discussed yesterday, but what is justice? Today, our modern mentality about justice is, oh, that person got what they deserved. And we tend to think about justice in terms of a punishment someone else receives, even though I hate the word, but even like karma, you know, when people are like, well, that's what they get for what they did. Good vibes, bad vibes, whatever you give out, that's what you should get back. I think that that's kind of most people's idea of justice. But what is the virtue of justice? The virtue of justice is giving to others what is due to them. This ultimately is meant to direct us with regard to proper relationship with regard to other people. Saint Isidore said, "A man is said to be just because he respects the rights of others." Now, what are the rights of others? This is a really important question. You see, in order to respect the rights of others, we need to know what other people's rights are. And I'm not just talking about the American Constitution. Because that's one way we could read it. And that's one way we could interpret our behavior. For example, the nation, our great nation, is battling right now over whether or not there's a constitutional right to abortion. Some people believe that that's their right. Other people believe it's not a right. So what is a person's right? What is a person owed? What is due to them? You see, this is why God matters. Because God created us with a purpose, with natural born rights, God-given rights. This is why understanding natural law is so important. Understanding femininity, masculinity, procreation, all of these things are fundamental. Let's talk about some examples of justice. And again, justice is giving to others what is their due. That is what belongs to them. So, and actually, I'm going to start with this example because I think it's important. For example, a boss, an owner of a business, could consider himself extremely generous for paying his employees and be like, oh man, I'm amazing. I gave you your salary. I gave you your paycheck. You know, I actually know some people who are like this. We're like, yeah, hey, I'm going to give you a job. And they like make a big deal about how I'm going to give you a job. I'm going to pay you. I'm going to give you a means of living. Well, actually, it's not you that gave it to me. Yeah, sure, you may be creating the business. That is a huge gift. I love business owners, especially virtuous business owners. But the person who is working, that is hard-earned cash. That is a hard-earned living. Those are hard-earned provisions. So when you give someone their salary, if you're a business owner, you're giving someone their due for work. It's just to give it to them. Let's talk about some other examples. I actually love this example, and I was really meditating upon it over the weekend when I was reading up on St. Thomas Aquinas' writing on the virtue of justice. And it hit me. I realized this is why St. Joseph is considered a just and righteous man. You can interchange justice and righteousness. Is to do right by others. To give others what is their due, what is their right, okay? Saint Joseph, and one of the reasons why he was such a just, righteous man, is because he understood and he respected that the Blessed Virgin Mary belonged to God. That Our Lady was God's portion. This is what's so profound about the fact that Joseph and Our Lady had no relations. Saint Joseph respected that Our Lady was God's, chosen and set apart. And his role in salvation history, his role in the Holy Family, although unique in terms of the biological complementarity of a family and not sharing physical relations, he respected what belonged to God, and he was the protector of Our Lady. He left Our Lady to God, and he protected her. Let's talk about other examples of justice. A great example, for example, is a child's right, a baby in utero, to actually physically be in utero. A baby, prior to birth, has a right to its mother's body, to be in its mother's body, because that's the natural place that it's supposed to be. That is a natural right for that baby. Another, for example, child's right, because I think let's talk about child's rights, because for some reason we love to deny children their rights. For example, the right to the baby in utero to be in that mom's womb. Second, a child's right to a mother and a father. A child has a natural born right to a mother and a father. This is how a child is conceived. Even if you create a baby in a petri dish with sperm and egg, you still need a physical mother and father to have led to the creation of this new life. Another right of a child is to be cared for by their parents and raised by their parents. We could go through a number of examples of justice. But I think it's important as we dive deeper into our series on justice. Tomorrow we're going to discuss how we can struggle with injustice. We'll also debunk some ideas of how we tend to think of justice in terms of obligation and painful obligation. So join us this week during our justice series, and tomorrow is the birthday of Our Lady. We'll talk about her on Trending. You're joining us during our series here on Trending with Tim Rayhard on Relevant Radio, our series on the virtue of justice. Yesterday we discussed what justice is, and today I want to unpack justice from a different perspective, and that is from the perspective of how we can struggle with injustice in our lives. But first, why talk about virtue? Well, virtue is important because the person who acts well lives well. And if you act well, you'll live well too. You see, you'll be happier for having done good in your life. Now, to define the virtue of justice is giving to others the things that they're due. For example, I gave a number of examples yesterday, so be sure to listen in our series on justice. Just wages given for work performed. It's also just that a child receives, for example, the right, because justice and right could be interchanged, that they have a right to nourishment and growth and protection within the mother's womb. That's their natural place that they're supposed to be, their right to have. Aristotle says, a man is not just unless he rejoices in just actions. I'll repeat that. A man is not just unless he rejoices in just actions. This is a really important conversation before we dive into injustice and how we struggle with this. Do you want to be a good person? The answer should be no. Because you want to be a virtuous person. There's a difference between a good person and a virtuous person. Why isn't a good person enough? Because often a good person does things begrudgingly but out of obligation. A good person does things maybe even to feel good. A virtuous person does things because it is good. It is just. They want to do good. And they choose to do it for the sake of the good, not because they feel forced out of obligation, and not because it makes them feel good. Sure, that can be a benefit to feel good, and sure, it can be a benefit to be reminded of what you're supposed to do out of obligation. But you see, there's a trend in our culture today where we view obligation as something that we're forced to do. For example, we think of obligation and we become resentful that we have to go to church on Sunday when there's a glorious sunny day out for us and there are tons of chores and things to do and I'm exhausted. And so therefore, I should be able to just rest at home. And so we're resentful when we have this obligation to go to church. In fact, that's why a lot of people didn't go back to church when churches opened, but it wasn't obligatory. You see, what's sad about this attitude when it comes to justice, when it comes to obligation, is that it actually is an injustice to ourselves and injustice to others. Because no one wants to feel like they're just an obligation. Like you're just hanging out with me because you have to. No one wants to feel like you're just there because you're just fulfilling your obligation. You see, virtue means when we have obligations, we're much obliged. What does it mean to be much obliged? We do it gladly and happily. And from this gladness, from this willingness, from this conscious effort and choice, good can come. In fact, growth will be achieved. So a couple of goals we can have when it comes to understanding righteousness and justice and obligation in our lives is, number one, to find joy in our interactions with others. And two, to be at peace with our interactions with others. This is why justice is so important, because justice gives to others what they're due. And so to find joy in our interactions with others, and then to be at peace with our interactions with others, helps us to no longer be stuck in this attitude of obligation, forced commitment, resentment for having been there, or an implosion at a certain point because I've just been doing things but out of this resentful obligation that I've been achieving. You see, this is part of our struggle with justice in today's culture, a misguided understanding of obligation, and a struggle to choose the good in our lives. Now, I wanted to talk about injustice today, but lo and behold, we'll have to save more on injustice to tomorrow, and we'll discuss tomorrow how comfort can get in the way of us being just. Join us for our virtue series here on Trending and our Marriage Hour tomorrow. One of my favorite quotes from Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, it goes like this: "The world offers you comfort. You weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness." I'll say that again. The world offers you comfort. You were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. How can you and I be great? It's by being virtuous. What is virtue? Virtues are good habits. Virtues are living well and acting well. Virtues are rooted in God. Some of them are actually gifts from God, fruits from God. They can be prayed for and asked for by God, but they can also be practiced and worked toward as well. This is why we're working on our virtue series here on Trending, because I don't know about you, I want to be happier, I want to be healthier, I want to be holier, and that requires we're actually willing to do the work through prayer and grace-filled efforts to be united to Jesus Christ. And so one of the four cardinal virtues, and by the way, we just launched today the podcast. If you missed our series on the cardinal virtue of prudence, we just kicked that off, threw it up online. We'll post a link to that online now, as well as in the show notes for today's show. All about prudence. Let's grow. And I gave homework and everything, but let's talk about justice today. This is our theme this week. Justice, I want to discuss from a modern day trend, and that is we are in love with comfort. We don't get off of the couch to wash our dishes because we're on our third episode of whatever we're binge watching right now. We literally wait longer than we should to use the restroom because we're on social media or playing a video game for so long. And we've just kind of cozied in and vegged out. And I'll just remind us, people literally have hemorrhoid problems today because of this. I'm just going to remind us, like, this is the truth of the matter. We are so obsessed with, like, a certain type of comfort that we're actually enduring other types of discomfort that's damaging toward our bodies, but also damaging toward our relationships. Now, let's remember what justice is for a moment. So justice is giving to others what they're due. And I gave some examples of this, if you haven't been listening, throughout our series on justice. Giving a just wage for work done. A child, it's just to for a child to have the right, because right and justice are very similar words. It's similar definition. It is just for a child to have the mother's body while in utero, because that is the appropriate and proper place for the baby to be. And so St. Thomas Aquinas, and there are all kinds of examples we've been giving, but St. Thomas Aquinas talks about how you can only do an unjust act voluntarily. So the only way you can do an injustice towards someone is if you do it intentionally. Because if you don't know that you're doing an injustice to someone, well then, although it might be an injustice to that person, you are not committing the injustice if you're not aware of the fact that it's an injustice. So you're not committing that sin. Now, of course, there's willful ignorance and culpability and our conscience kicking in. But also, it's also important that we recognize that you can only suffer an injustice if you act voluntarily. Or sorry, let me clarify. You can only suffer an unjust act voluntarily. So, and I think this is really important for us to understand as we're talking about justice. So what this all requires is that for there to be someone who's actually an unjust person, that person has to habitually, intentionally, and by choice be committing injustices against someone else. Thomas Aquinas says that an injustice may sometimes arise from a passion, for instance, anger or desire, and sometimes from choices. For instance, when the injustice itself is the direct object of one's complacency. Let's talk about that for a moment. Complacency. There, as I mentioned before, there's this trend where we're choosing our own comfort in life. We just want to be comfortable all the time. For example, I don't want to get hurt, so I'm not going to physically defend the person standing right next to me who's literally being grabbed and harmed and a crime is occurring. So you don't protect the person in front of you who you're capable of protecting. That's actually an injustice being done. Or for example, a person says to you that they're going to have an abortion and you don't say anything, do anything to oppose it. Maybe you even go with that person because you think that by going with a person to have the abortion, even though you disagree, that that will be the easiest fit for the relationship. That's an injustice. Because not only is it an injustice toward the person who's dying in this instance, but it's also an injustice because you're not willing to step out of your own comfort. You see, comfort has led many a people to act unjustly to someone. Or maybe you're struggling throughout COVID and day to day. You let your kids spend 3 hours a day on TV, social media, video games, or whatever technology of their choice, because at least they're entertained and not bored, and I don't have to entertain them. That's an injustice toward children. Did you hear that children born during COVID have a striking and shocking lower IQ than children born prior to COVID? Researchers are commenting that the comparison is comparable with those children who were orphans in Romania who had severe long-term developmental and even levels of psychological damage done to them because of their lack of physical engagement, outdoor activity, and stimulation. Which is what's happening with kids born during COVID, because parents are distracted, stressed out, going outside less, not getting that visual recognition interaction because of masks. So how do we rediscover justice, deny comfort, and choose other people? One, here's our homework, because all of us in some ways are choosing our own comfort over acting justly towards someone. Remember, justice means giving to others what they're due. Number one, we need to know the law of God so that we can act justly toward others. Number two, we need to recognize our state in life and those responsibilities that are required of us and that should be given willingly, even when it's hard, and ponder them and how we can accomplish those things to act justly toward those entrusted to our care or even those who we interact with day to day. Third, we need to do our examination of conscience regularly. Or even maybe do a little more serious examination of conscience today, recognizing maybe how their injustice is being performed against those people within your home and family. Fourth, go to confession. Be forgiven by our Lord Jesus Christ for these sins. And fifth, amend your ways. Plan to no longer commit the injustice toward others where you're choosing your own comfort. This is our series here on trending, our virtue series on justice. Join us tomorrow as we'll talk about justice in relation to worship, prayer, and mass. We are wrapping up our virtue series this week on the virtue of justice. What's justice? St. Thomas Aquinas defines it, rendering a person his due. In other words, giving to another person what is due to them. Now, let's talk about this in relation to worship. I was talking just a couple weeks ago about how everything we have in life is meant to be given back to God. Our life, our income, everything is meant to be surrendered back to God. Now, I'm not saying you have to donate everything because, in fact, God has given you responsibilities that you need to live out and accomplish and take culpability for in your families. And so, it is an act of justice as you're functioning in your income with various things, but our whole life is meant to be given back to God. Our whole life is meant to be an act of worship because everything comes from God and everything is meant to return to God. That's why we should go to Mass on Sundays and actually spend the whole day dedicating it, setting apart for God. Why we should pray. Why we should go to confession, give thanks and praise to God. So did you know that worship, prayer, all of this falls under the virtue of justice? Well, Thomas Aquinas says worship is due to God alone. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, in all thy ways, think of him. St. Augustine says that we ought to seek God again, whom we had lost by our neglect. Our neglect. Why do we neglect God? Well, when we neglect God, we are turning away from our responsibility to worship him. Everything came from him, and any grateful individual, it's a just act to show an act of gratitude. Did you know that religion is a virtue? It's a part of justice. Thomas Aquinas says a virtue is that which makes its possessor good and his acts good likewise. You see, worship, religion, praise, thanksgiving, all of this is what properly orders our life. You see, acts of justice order our life in relation to one another, in relation to God. Yet, there's a trend in our world today of extreme chaos. We don't know if we're male or female. We don't know what's up or down. You can't even say the earth is round anymore. You can't even say 2 + 5 = 7. We experience extreme stress, anxiety. You can't tell me how to raise my family. You can't tell me what a family should look like. Anything works. I talked about this actually Wednesday on the show. Our responsibility to protect in society. I read to you a little bit of a child's book that I read that basically promoted any type of family. There's a lot of confusion today. Well, what helps us overcome the chaos in life? Properly ordered worship. Prayer. We need to pay God the due honor we owe to him. St. Augustine, you've heard the line many times before, our souls are restless until they rest in you. Why are our souls, why are our bodies restless until they rest in God? Because our proper being is to worship and return to God. Let's talk about this for a second. Did you know that even verbal prayer out loud and singing praise are a part of an act of justice? Because they're used to bring ourselves and others to honor and worship God. That's why saying things such as, oh my God, in a derogatory way is an act of injustice. That's why praising the Lord, let's say someone gives you a compliment, say thank you, but say praise the Lord. Why? Because all good gifts, all talent come from God. You see, prayer, speaking of God out loud, thanking him, praising him in front of others, singing his praises benefit us, even though they're an act of justice toward God. Thomas Aquinas says, for as much as a man by praising God ascends in his affections to God, by so much is he withdrawn from things opposed to God. So when we speak of God, when we praise him, when we thank him out loud or internally, or when we sing of him, our affections are ascending to God and we're withdrawing from things that are opposed to our Lord. Let's practice the virtue of justice in our lives. Voluntarily, eagerly, and attentively attend Mass, go to confession, pray your prayers.